Before we jump into this, a friend told me he's moved to Decatur. He said there's going to be a small group of men down there listening to this message this week. So let's give out a cheer to the guys in Decatur that are going to be listening to this message, all right? For you guys. Well, knowing that we're going to be talking about a spiritual practice today that can seem a bit mysterious and difficult to define, and that is how to detect God's whispers or how to know when God is speaking to you, I thought I would just take a straw poll today. And up front, I want to say this has nothing to do with gauging anyone's spirituality or anything like that, so don't think raising your hand or not raising your hand is an admission of anything besides just an answer to the question that I'm asking. But how many of you would say that you have known times, maybe one time, many times, doesn't matter how many times, but there have been some time in your life where, like Bobby in that video today, you believe God spoke to you. Now, I've said it, you believe he did. You may not be altogether certain that it was him, but you believe God spoke to you through an inner impression of his spirit. How many of you would say that's happened to me? That's exactly what I thought, that we'd see a lot of hands like that, because I think this is much more common and much less weird than some people think it is. I think this is, as we talk about, this is a very natural way for God to speak to us. For those of you who didn't raise your hand, the likelihood is that you've received an inner impression many times, but simply didn't associate it with God's leading. I'm of the persuasion that if Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 3 could hear an audible voice from God three times and not know that it was God speaking, then we might be inclined to miss an inner impression from God now and then. But the question we want to focus on this morning is, how does God get personalized affirmation or guidance or direction or warning to us for either our own lives or maybe for the lives of others when such guidance is not directly spelled out in the Bible? How does he do that? For some of you, you're wondering, does he even do that? Bruce Wilkinson, who's the author of the famous little book a few years ago called The Prayer of Jabez, has recently come out with what I consider to be an equally incredible book called You Were Born for This. It's subtitled Seven Keys to a Life of Predictable Miracles. And in it, he discusses this whole arena of how God leads us and guides us by his Spirit to do things that can only be done through the power of his Spirit. Bruce shares of a moment several years ago when he had been invited to speak to 80 men at a conference or a retreat center. And Bruce speaks in to audience much larger than that. So he just had a real sense that God wanted him to take this particular engagement. And he had a real sense that God was going to do something. He didn't know what, but it just felt like the Lord was saying that there's going to be something happen here. So pay attention. And so sensing that, Bruce asked the man in charge of the event, what would you like me to do if God shows up tonight? The man seemed startled, and he asked, well, what do you mean? And Bruce repeated his question, if the Lord shows up and does something unusual, what do you want me to do? The man thought about it for a moment and said, well, it will be important for you to bring things to a close in 30 minutes, like we agreed. Bruce said, okay, but if something else occurs that might be unexpected, I'm going to look at you. And if you want me to end things, you just grab your right ear, and I'll know I'm just supposed to close in prayer. Well, the man didn't seem too impressed with a backup plan. He said, Mr. Wilkinson, I can assure you, I won't need to grab my right ear. Just, you've got 30 minutes, be done. So, time came for his 30-minute talk. The men gave him a warm welcome, and he launched into his message. And no more than 5 minutes in, he received an unmistakable nudge from the Holy Spirit, and he said, in a way that was both unusual and impossible to ignore, his attention was drawn toward a man sitting four rows back on the left side, center aisle. Deciding to trust the nudge and to risk looking like a fool, because sometimes when you are following what you think God said to do, you don't know for sure. So it might end badly, who knows, you know, but Bruce decided to trust it. He stopped talking. He walked on down the aisle to where this man was sitting. He introduced himself to this man, found out that this man's name was Owen. And he said to him, Owen, I sense there is something going on in your life. Is there anything I can do for you? Owen was just kind of taken back, and he said, no. He said, there's nothing going on in my life. I'm fine, really. So Bruce goes, okay. And what do? He apologized to Owen. He headed back to the podium, carrying on an inner dialogue with God. Wow, that went real well. I think I just freaked out everybody in this room, you know, trying to do what I thought you wanted me to do. He says, they're not accustomed to speakers just stopping in mid-sentence and going out and talking to someone. And Bruce said, I wasn't either accustomed to that. So once he collected his thoughts, he began again, and almost immediately he felt another nudge of the Holy Spirit. Same nudge, same man. And now Bruce is having an internal battle. He said, Lord, I just did that. And nothing happened. The nudge came very clearly, go again. And here Bruce explains the very real tension as a part of what we're talking about today. He asks, have you ever come to a point in your life where you've had to make a choice between everything visible, everything expected and sensible, and something invisible, something inaudible, something known only to you that you can't possibly defend, but that you know in your heart is true? He said, when God nudged me again, I had one of those moments. My sentences stumbled and stopped, and I decided to take another risk of faith. This time, he picked up his chair, he walked out to that fourth row, and he sat down beside Owen. He said, Owen, he said, please don't be offended. But he said, I don't think you're telling me the truth. This time you could hear a pin drop about like we just could, you know. And all of a sudden, Owen takes a deep breath and he said, how did you know? Now Bruce is on some solid ground. He said, I didn't know really. He said, I just believe God was trying to show me that there's something deeply troubling you, and he maybe wants to do something about it. So is there anything we can do for you? At this point, Owen blurts out, yes. He said, I'm quitting ministry tonight. He said, I called my wife this afternoon. I told her I'd made my decision. And as soon as this session is over, I'm quitting ministry. Bruce says, really? He said, why are you quitting ministry? Owen goes on to share how he had been a successful businessman until God had led him out of the business field and into a men's ministry a few years before. And he says, man, we've been spending everything we can to keep this thing afloat now. Financially, he said, I'm ruined. He said, we're going broke. We love what we do, but we've lost our savings. We've lost our retirement. I've remortgaged our house. My credit cards are maxed out. And on top of that, I'm $16,000 in debt. So I'm just telling you, I've had enough. Now, you understand his frustration. He said, I just quit. And Bruce says, man, the heart of every man in that room went out to Owen. I mean, they could understand his frustration in trying to do what he believed God had led him to do. And now just being up to his ears in challenges and in debt. And Bruce assured him that he and his wife had faced similar testings numerous times. But then Bruce said, I have only one question. When you changed course a few years ago and you left the business field to come and do men's ministry, was that just kind of your own idea, or would you say that God clearly called you? He said, oh. He says, we have no doubt. He said, God clearly called us. Bruce said, okay, so if you're sure that God called you, is he calling you out of ministry? See, Bruce said, that might be a possibility. God might call you to something else. So he said, I don't know. I'm just asking him. He says, is God calling you out of ministry? Is he asking you to leave? Owen thought for a moment, and he said, no. Bruce says, okay, then, are you sure you want to leave? And at this point, Owen becomes a bit agitated. He said, well, I'm up to my ears in debt. I have to quit. How am I supposed to go on? Bruce said, I understand. But has God asked you to leave? Again, there's a long pause, and then Owen said, no. Bruce says, okay, so what are you going to do? And then he says, God's Spirit moved into that room. A noticeable awareness of his presence came among us in peace and power. He said, many of those men in that audience were struggling to hold back the tears. Owen's eyes, too, he said, filled with tears. And then with great effort, he said, I shouldn't quit unless he asked me to leave. So I won't quit. And Bruce wanted to test his resolve, so he asked him, but what about the $16,000 debt? Owen said again, no, I'm not going to quit. Doesn't matter. So they shook hands on his decision. And then Bruce asked for some of the men to gather around and pray for Owen. And of course, scores of men left their seats, came around this guy, and poured out their hearts for him. And then he said, man, Owen himself prayed an emotional, humble prayer, recommitting himself to his calling. And then as men were filtering back to their seats, the man in charge of the event said, guys, it's not right. This man's $16,000 in debt. My wife and I are going to give him $1,000. Then he says, well, what are you guys going to do? Bruce said, then he looked at me and said, what are you going to do? You're the speaker. Bruce didn't say anything as they all contemplated the challenge, and then without a word, men started to open their wallets, and one by one, they walked over to Owen with their gifts, and in no time at all, Owen had $16,000. His debt was taken care of. His ministry continued that night, all because of some personalized care that came to him directly from the throne room of heaven. Bruce said they ministered to a couple of other people that night. And he helped nail it down with Owen. He said, Owen, is it not remarkable that the God who loves you sent me here tonight and gave me a nudge from his Spirit into a situation I didn't even know, all because he loves you enough and just wanted to give you the direction that you needed tonight? What a remarkable thing. Bruce said it was just an unforgettable experience. He said, I never got back to my message that night, but the man in charge never reached for his ear, even though the whole experience took a lot longer than 30 minutes. Let me just ask you again, how does God, or how would God, get his personalized affirmation or guidance or direction or warning to us for either our own lives or the lives of others when such guidance is not directly spelled out in the Scriptures? There was nothing in his personal Bible reading that morning that could have prepared Bruce for that evening, because there is no verse in the Bible that says, thou shalt look for a man named Owen who is in trouble and needs your help today. No, to get Bruce that information in the moment required the personal guidance of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible makes clear that the Holy Spirit, this is his role. He actively seeks to guide us, to lead us, to teach us, to convict us, to illuminate the Scriptures to us, to lead us into truth, to comfort us, to fellowship with us. Those are all active verbs that the Bible indicates is his role in our lives. And see, he does this through inner impressions, or what some call the still small voice, by which he impresses his thoughts upon our minds and hearts. But again, learning to discern the nudges and whispers of the Spirit isn't an exact science, and thus has led some to two unhealthy extremes that we want to avoid. One extreme is what we call the message-a-minute approach. In this view, some conclude that God is there to tell you what to do every minute of the day. Love how Bill Hybels talks about this. He says, we may know Christians whose approach to God's leadings make us uncomfortable. They have performed a kind of intellectual lobotomy on themselves, and they expect the Holy Spirit to choose their socks in the morning, their restaurant for lunch, and their crossword puzzle in the evening. They claim to experience a leading an hour, a vision a day, a miracle a week. But he says there's nothing in the Bible or in the shared experience of Christians down through the ages to substantiate such a view of God's guidance. Add to that the fact that some people claim to get these leadings all the time, seem to use them to control other people. I have a lady that I know quite well, love her dearly, she loves the Lord, but I tell you, it doesn't matter what decision she's got to make, it's always, God told me, God told me, God told me. And it doesn't matter whether it's a smart decision or not. If you try to convince her that maybe she ought to do something else because that doesn't sound like God, you know, you're arguing with God at that point. God told me. So I can understand how people then tend to back up and go, God, this is kind of weird. I just don't believe God's talking like that all the time, see? So on the other side are those who are a bit squeamish about letting the Holy Spirit do anything supernatural in their lives. They would like his ministry to be more quantified and defined. The Holy Spirit seems elusive and mysterious, and that unnerves them. So when they sense a leading that might be from the Holy Spirit, they resist it. They analyze it and conclude, doesn't seem logical, therefore I won't pay attention to it. They question the Spirit's leadings, rebukes, and attempts to comfort. And it was to people like this that the Bible offers this warning in Hebrews 3:15 when it says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. See, you can harden yourself to the whispers, to the nudges, to the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life. And you don't want to go there. Other people want to obey the Holy Spirit, but they're just not sure they'd know when he was really speaking. Are they hearing their own desires or God's still small voice? And so not wanting to go off the deep end, they avoid the water altogether, or shall we say, they stay in the shallow end. And the results of this approach are predictable, albeit unfortunate, because people who cut themselves off from God's personalized direction find their religious experience becoming cerebral and predictable and boring and often past tense. And there's nothing boring about walking in the present moment with the Holy Spirit. So in the church, this approach where people are a bit resistant has most often shown up as the it's all in the Bible approach. So you have those message a minute people and you have the it's all in the Bible people. Theologian and author Dallas Willard insightfully shares, while happily the principles are all here, in other words, God's not going to give any more scripture. He has spoken his authoritative word here in the scriptures. Yet, Willard says, a seriously misguided view that has been very harmful is that all God is ever going to say is already in the Bible. It's like he put his voice in a book and he has nothing more to say. Even though he's a living, active God who wants to give you personal guidance, he's not speaking anymore. Just get it in the Bible. See? Now, Willard says this is a view that intends to honor the Bible, and we want to honor the Bible. It is God's authoritative source of truth, see? But he says it's with a zeal that is not according to knowledge. About many questions in our lives, the Bible does not give direct and final instruction. Now, we don't need to make long inquiries into God's will to know whether we should worship an idol, take something that is not ours, engage in illicit sex, or mistreat our parents, because the Bible clearly speaks with finality to those issues. But, Willard says, many other questions force us to realize that we and the specific circumstances of our lives are simply not dealt with in the Bible. The Bible will not tell you what to do about most of the details of your life. It doesn't tell you, you can't open a chapter and verse to say who you should marry, where you should work, where you should live, where you should go to school. All of those important details in our lives are not covered here in the Bible. Therefore, he says, our reverence for and faith in the Bible must not be allowed to blind us to the need for personal divine guidance within the principles of, but beyond the details explicitly stated in the Bible. And guys, the way the Bible itself teaches that God gets such guidance to us is through divine promptings and nudges of the Holy Spirit that we can learn to detect via the discipline of listening. And let's be clear today, we're not talking about something that is reserved just for the holy few. My guess is that all of us at one time or another have received some form of personalized guidance from God, and probably more often than not have not even associated it with God's leading. Because we were like Samuel, we didn't know. See, for the most part, God's promptings don't come to us as a lightning bolt out of heaven or an audible, booming bass voice as he's often been portrayed. Cal Rickner, thou shalt go do this or that, you know. No, when we talk about God's promptings or nudges or whispers, we're talking about an inaudible yet clear impression or thought in our mind and heart that affirms, warns, or gives guidance to us in a deeply personal way. Many times people will ask, well, how do I know it's not just my thoughts? And the answer to that is that's not always easy to know. Yet over time, as you respond to these promptings, you come to sense the difference between just something that you were thinking up in the moment and a thought that seemingly came from outside of yourself. I've had those moments where, wow, that's a great thought. I knew it couldn't have been mine. You know? Sometimes it might be, you know, Cal, Susan needs your encouragement today. Now, that's consistent with how what God would say, right? And so I can hardly go wrong if I act on that and give my wife my encouragement, even though that was my thought, even though I'm not sure that was God's thought. But here's what I know, guys. When that thought comes to me and I'm completely not thinking that, and I completely don't know that, I'm focused on something else. Susan needs your encouragement. And I pick up the phone and say, hey, hon, just calling to let you know you're a fantastic wife and mom and you're awesome, this type of thing. And then I find out in the aftermath, and she said, oh, man, you don't know how much that call meant to me today, man. I was just really struggling and just needed your encouragement. Right? I tend to think, well, maybe God spoke into that. I've had wonderful moments where I've had pretty clear certainty that God had spoken and given me guidance. And what I want you to understand, guys, I appreciate today that it's not just in the big moments. I see my daughter down here with her friends. I was 17 when I got a word from God about the direction he wanted me to go. Preach the gospel. It was a huge moment in my life. One of the holiest moments in my life. 17 years old. I had no peg to hang that on. I was like, I think I just heard God, you know. Today, I appreciate the fact that God wants to give guidance and just wants to do life with me. And so there are those moments where he speaks in ways that you didn't expect him to. We have a dog today at our home named Morgan. And it's only because of a personal prompting from God that occurred while I and the staff were on a retreat in the Smoky Mountains back in 2000. That morning, after a time of worship up in the mountains, I was just at a tender time of worship. And I was walking down this path alone, just thanking God and worshiping him. And I ran into this young couple who had this tiny little black, cute Pekingese puppy on a leash. And I'm not a big dog lover. But for whatever reason, I was just kind of drawn to that dog, and I got down on one knee, and I said, oh, what's his name? You know, what kind of dog is this? Is it good with kids? I don't know why I asked that, because 2 years before that, I had told my kids, there will never be another dog in this house. So, they head on down the path, and I'm heading down, and guys, here it is in my heart. Turn around. I turn around and I watch him walk. And I hear, why do you think I created those? Why do you think I created dogs? Guys, I've never had a dialogue with God about why he created dogs. Wouldn't occur to me to have that conversation. I said, you created them for us to enjoy. And in that moment, God says, you're keeping your kids from something I created for them to enjoy. It was unexplainable. It was unbelievable. And now I've got tears. And I'm like, it's like I know what I'm supposed to do. I've got to get my kids a dog. I don't even like dogs. I don't want a dog. And you see, this is how it is when God speaks. When you know, he doesn't mince his word when it comes as a command in here. But you see, when it's the general guidance of the Holy Spirit, it wasn't like he was telling me, you have to go get a dog, or you're going to be disobeying me. It was one of these things where he so opened my heart that was like, okay, Lord, I'll get him a dog. And then I said, can you find me a black Pekingese like that one, you know? I go back and call my wife and let her know that, gosh, honey, you're not going to believe what happened out there in the mountain this morning. And I start telling her about this. I can just tell she's going, yeah, you know. I mean, in her heart, she's going, yeah, the only way you would ever want a dog is if God told you you had to have one. She didn't say this to me, but in her mind, she's going, we'll see how far this goes once you get home. But I couldn't let it go. I got home. I started checking the papers. It wasn't but a couple of days. I find a little black Pekingese pup. We go out to check it out, and it's exactly like the one I saw in the Smoky Mountains. I took it on the spot. And I've often thought of that experience and wondered, there's Morgan. We've enjoyed her for 9 years now. But I've often thought of that experience and I've wondered, who knows but that my kids were praying to God that their dad would let them have another dog? And it never even dawned on me to ever ask my kids about that. We were talking about this Friday night. I said, Victoria, your dog's going to be on the big screen today. And I asked her, I said, do you ever remember praying that we get another dog? She said without hesitation, Dad, I prayed all the time that God would let us have another dog. I wish I'd known that. I said, stop praying that. You know, right? We're not going there. No, think about that. Here's a little child praying to have a dog, which God created for us to enjoy, right? How would God answer that prayer unless he somehow could speak into my life and let me know that's what he wanted me to do? There's no verse in the Bible that says, Cal Rickner, thou shalt love your kids by getting them another dog. So you see why the Bible helps me to know God's heart and his mind and his ways. It helps me to know I'm supposed to love my kids. It is only the active speaking voice of the Holy Spirit that helps me to know that in this moment, loving your kids means get them a dog. And again, so you all, there might be some punching going on out here. I heard that after the first service. Hey, just because that was my assignment doesn't mean it's yours, okay? So if there's some dads that have said that, you know. But it's just an amazing thing how God actively speaks into our circumstances. Dallas Willard affirms, how can there be personal relationships, a personal walk with God or with any other person without individualized communication? In the last analysis, he says, nothing is more central to the practical life of the Christian than confidence in God's individual dealings with each person on a one-to-one basis. Jesus himself taught that one of the things that would characterize his followers is their ability to hear and discern his voice. He said in John 10:27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. And guys, doesn't it just kind of make your heart just kind of skip a beat to think about the fact, you mean the God of the universe might deal with me and lead me and speak to me in a very personal way? And the Bible's answer is yes. The Christian life isn't just some arrangement between an impersonal God and you. It's a personal relationship by which you communicate to him and he communicates to you. The greatest blessing in the Christian life is to be personally known and led by God. The Bible says that God knows us by name. He knows every detail about it. He takes a personal interest in us. Some of us aren't real sure about that. I read a few years ago about a middle-aged woman who had a heart attack. She was taken to the hospital and while on the operating table. She had a near-death experience. And seeing God, she asked him, is my time up? And God said, no, you have another 43 years, 2 months, and 8 days to live. Which, of course, is great news to this lady. I mean, upon recovery with a new lease in life, she decided to spruce up her life a bit and finally make herself look like she wanted to look. Since I got another 43 years, I mean, she had a facelift, liposuction, tummy tuck. I mean, she had the works, even got her hair all done up, changed the hair color. I mean to tell you, she was looking good and enjoying it. Thinking, I got another 43 years. This could be awesome. However, as fate would have it, it wasn't but a few days later, she was crossing the street, was killed by a speeding driver who had run a red light. And so arriving in front of God, she demanded, I thought you said I had another 43 years, 2 months, and 8 days to live. Why didn't you pull me out from in front of that irresponsible driver? Whereupon God replied, I'm sorry, but I didn't recognize you. I just thought you needed to hear that joke today. I love it. Now listen, the truth is God does recognize you. No matter what you do to yourself. He does recognize you. He knows you. He knows your every thought. He knows your every movement. The Bible says he even keeps your tears in a bottle. You are special to him. He wants to carry on a very personal relationship with you. And when you became a Christ follower, if you have stepped across that line of faith, the Bible says that at the moment you did, he put his Holy Spirit in you for the primary purpose of carrying on an intimate personal relationship with you, leading you, teaching you, guiding you, warning you, changing you, and comforting you through his internal witness in your heart. Look at how the Apostle Paul ends his letter in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 14. I love the way the Message translation translates this. He said, may the amazing grace of Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, and look at this, and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Now, guys, does intimate friendship sound like an impersonal God? No, he wants to commune with you one-on-one, and therefore, you should expect to be led and guided by him on a very intimate and personal basis. And there are all sorts of ways that God's personalized care and guidance may come to us. Here are just a few of the more common ways. Sometimes God may quicken a word of Scripture to your situation. That's the most common way that he speaks. That's what Bobby was referring to in her video. It's as if an inner voice says, this is a word for your situation. Man, I have many letters in my files, like the one I received from a lady some time ago, which said, I always wonder how your sermons always seem to be talking to me. I think, how can this be when you don't know me? She goes on, I've heard it said that when this happens, that the Holy Spirit is picking out the things you need. I would say, ma'am, you are absolutely right about that. See, I have no idea how God is going to direct his word on any particular weekend, and I'm so glad it's not up to me to know that. It's just that as the word is being spoken, the Holy Spirit knows what each one of you need. He knows it's different than what anybody else is going to hear. You're going to hear something that somebody else didn't, because the Holy Spirit is going to say, here is a word for you. And it's kind of like God personalizes that word to you. That word didn't mean anything to somebody over here. And yet a few moments later, God takes the word and it just kind of goes into your heart and you go, wow, that just seems like it answers that question that I've been praying about. Or, you know, it's kind of like that. That's for me. It feels like God just gave me a download of something here. See, that's the quickening of the word of God. Other times that guidance may come as a specific directive or impression in a situation. Do this. Talk to that person. Give that person a call. Your wife needs encouragement. Why did I create puppies? See. And again, you may not be able to tell whether it's just your own thought or whether you've heard God. I just tend to say, you know, if you get direction for somebody else, encourage that person, say to this person, do that for that person. You know, I just tend to say, guys, one of the ways you learn is just by acting upon it. If it seems like something God would say, if it seems like something God would do, if it carries his love, it carries his heart, act on it. And don't worry about it, because here's what I know. Even if you get it wrong and you were doing it out of a sense of obedience to God, he is still going to bless it and he's not going to shame you. That'd be like one of my kids, you know, I'm watching football or something, and they said, I need to get Dad some soda or something. I'm just going to take him something here. And, you know, it's in their heart to just bless me. And they say they're on their way to my chair and they stumble and drop the soda all over the carpet. You know, I'd probably react, but let's say your child says, Daddy, I just really thought that I wanted to do this because I love you and I wanted to show. You know, wouldn't your heart be touched? You'd be going, okay, just because they stumbled, I really appreciate your heart to bless your daddy. That's exactly how your Heavenly Father is when you're seeking to obey him, even if you might get it wrong once in a while. I thought I heard. Now, guys, can I give you some very practical application when it comes to this whole idea of getting guidance for somebody else? Can I just say, Northwoods, let's just, you know what? It would probably be better if we would just get away from, hey, God told me to tell you this. Because you can be wrong. How's a person supposed to fight against, well, God told me, you know? I heard of one guy, went up to a gal he had just met, hey, God told me I'm supposed to marry you. She's like, well, he didn't tell me. That's exactly what you should do with that. You know what? We don't have to get into this God told me thing. What we want to do with these gentle impressions of the Holy Spirit, and particularly since most of us are novices, is just say, you know what? I have a sense that I'm supposed to do this. Or I sense that maybe God wants me to do this. Does this mean anything to you? See, you leave it kind of open-ended and in that place of, I think this. See? Not God told me. Okay? So, just a word for us. Many times you may just get a sense of affirmation from God about his love for you. This is more often than not how these nudges come. It's God's affirmation. He wants you to know he's there. He wants you to know that he cares. He wants you to know that he knows you personally. But see, guys, however it comes, it's designed to just lead us into a deeper relationship with Jesus and a greater appreciation for his care for us. This is not some kind of spiritual badge. We go around and go, oh, God spoke to me. Yeah, look how spiritual I am. No. When God speaks to us, it's to lead us into a deeper relationship with Jesus and into a greater appreciation of his care for us. Now, the question often comes up, and I wanted to just deal with this as we wrap up. Is there anything we can do to get better at discerning God's nudges? I mean, we can't make him speak. We don't want to put words in his mouth. But the reality is that there are some things we can do with this discipline of listening that can help us to become more sensitive to God's nudges. In fact, Bobby, you saw in the video, is going to be leading a lab immediately following the service for those of you who want to pursue this a little bit further. So you just go out the back here, down the center steps, and down in room G, and you can spend another half hour, 45 minutes, and there's a couple of these practices over this 40-day journey that we're going to have little labs. Last week we had a lab on reading the Word of God. Today we're going to have a lab on, and basically it's going to be a listening experience with the Word of God, just listening to the Scriptures. So if you want to do that, you feel free to do that. But John Eldridge has written a great book called Walking with God. And it's something of a primer for helping us to practice this discipline. And in it, he gives some helpful guidance for growing in the discipline of listening. He says, step one in learning to listen to the voice of God is ask simple questions. Again, for most of us, we're novices here. So we shouldn't, you know, it's not that God can't give us guidance about the big decisions in his life, because he does. But probably as we're learning, it's better rather than ask God, should I marry that person? God, do you want me to sell the business tomorrow? You know, this type of thing. We should be asking, let's say my daughter calls and she wants me to come visit next week and I'm really busy and I'm tired and I don't, do I visit? Do I stay home? It's probably a good thing to take that before God and say, Lord, is there some reason you want me to go, or should I just stay? That's a pretty simple question, not earth-shattering either way. You just get quiet before God and ask simple questions. And then, step two, you pause and listen. You ask the question. You pause and listen, and very, very important, while you're listening, you assume a posture of surrender. I'm going to say this discipline of listening is worth it all, even if you never hear anything, but you bring yourself into a posture of surrender. Because God can do something with a posture of surrender. It's absolutely critical. You let God know as you're listening, Lord, I will accept whatever it is you want to say to me. If you only hear an answer that agrees with what you already know you want to hear, you're not in submission to God. If you have already made up your mind about the direction you're going to go, regardless of what God has to say about it, don't bother listening, because you're not going to hear anything. You're not in a place of surrender. Eldridge says, there is no more decisive issue when it comes to hearing the voice of God than the issue of surrender. And like I say, if this discipline takes you to a place of surrender, praise God. You're just living out of, you know what, Lord? I'm just going to do what I believe you've told me to do, but I'm just in a place of surrender. What would you have me to do? Now, I love this. I had never heard anybody explain this. He said, try on an answer. Okay, you're listening, you're asking simple questions, you're listening for response, you're in a place of surrender, and you try on an answer. He says, still in a posture of quiet surrender, I ask the Lord, is it yes you want us to go? And he says, I pause in my heart, I'm trying it on, letting it be as though this is God's answer. See, and what you're gonna hear, we talk about how there's the Holy Spirit will bring peace. You know, if you're trying on an answer and it releases peace and it releases joy, and there's just a sense of, wow, I do feel released into this answer. That's probably a good sense of the Spirit's leading in your life. But so then you try on the other answer. Is your answer, no, I'm not supposed to go? What are you sensing in your heart as you're asking that question? And so many, many times, you will learn to sense God's direction on a matter before you hear actual words like go or stay. Now, the truth is that I don't always get real clear direction for every decision that I have to make that is not clearly spelled out in the Bible. Sometimes I'm still not clear even after I've tried on an answer. Here's a safety net that I found that has helped me at all times. By faith, step out to do what is in your heart. God's word assures us in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, I love the way that today's New International Version translates this, because it's right. In all your ways, submit to him. That's that surrender word. In all your ways, submit to him, and what? He will direct your path. If you've surrendered and submitted to him, you're going to be able to look back on your path and see that God was leading you the whole way. But here's what I want you to get. Many of us have been taught as we were growing up that we can never trust our hearts because our hearts are deceitful and wicked above all things. Right? There's a passage in Jeremiah that talks about how deceitful and wicked our hearts are. Guys, you never overlay an Old Testament covenant verse onto the New Testament. Because New Testament covenant does not say you're just wicked and really terrible and you should never trust your heart. The Holy Spirit, if he's entered your heart, has cleansed your heart, and that's where he speaks to you. And so if you have surrendered and submitted your heart to God, here's what I would say to you. You can trust your heart. How would the Holy Spirit, who speaks to your heart, lead you if you're not going to trust your heart? You bring yourself into submission to God, into surrender to God, and then you say, Lord, and here's often, when I don't know a direction, I say, what is my heart telling me? And I just simply say, Lord, I've surrendered my heart to you. My heart tells me that I should go this way or do this. So believing you are guiding me, I pray that you will open the door wide, you confirm my direction, and if I've missed you in this, then Lord, you know, just shut the door and lead me in another direction. But I am going to step out trusting my heart because my heart is submitted to you and I believe that your Holy Spirit is guiding my heart in this. See? And I just trust God's guidance. I step out in the way that I sense he's leading my heart. Now, I hope this has been helpful to you today. Again, it's difficult to teach because it's not an exact science. Some people have done some crazy things because they believe God told them to. But again, just because there are some crazies out there doesn't mean we want to resist the legitimate leading of the Spirit in our own lives. That would be crazy. So I pray that if nothing else, today has made you hungry to go deeper in learning to detect the whispers and the nudges of God, the God who knows you, who loves you, and will often personalize his communication to you. And again, if you want to check out the lab afterwards, you feel free to do that. I close with this story of a family that went into a restaurant one night. The waitress walked up and looking at this young boy, she said, what will it be? The young man immediately blurted out. He said, I have a hamburger, fries, and a shake. The mother immediately interrupted, oh, that's not what he wants. He'll take a roast beef, a baked potato, and a glass of milk. And much to the surprise of both the mother and the boy, the waitress completely ignored her and again asked the boy, and what do you want on that hamburger? He says, ketchup, lots of ketchup. Says, and what kind of shake? Chocolate shake. And she turns away to go fill the order. And as she does, the little boy with a great big grin on his face looks at his family and says, man, isn't she great? She thinks I'm real. I want to tell you, you have a God who knows you're real and who relates to you as a real person. And he wants to show you how real he is as he personally leads and guides your life. And I hope as you listen to this famous old hymn written by one who knew this intimate fellowship with Jesus, your heart cry will be, Lord, teach me to listen. Lord, teach me to hear. And Lord, teach me to follow. Make that your prayer as you just listen to this closing hymn. Let's stand together for prayer. And again, I would just encourage those of you who are feeling like, man, I would just learn a little bit more about this. Down the middle steps. Room G down at the end of this, at the bottom of the steps. We'll do a little lab for a moment. And then next week, we'll cut the service a bit short. Hope you come with some money you've been saving. We're going to go grocery shopping and have a good time. I believe that, you know, last year was a 20-ton weekend. I think we can do a 30-ton weekend this year. Huh? Can't we? We'll go out and we'll have a good time buying the groceries. So come on in here and then probably 45 minutes in the service or so, we'll head on out to the grocery stores and trust God to use that in people's lives. Father, I just want to say thank you now for the Word of God and the active speaking voice of the Holy Spirit who can take that Word and direct it into our lives in such personal ways. I pray, that, Lord, that you would teach us to listen, teach us to hear. You'd help us to know moment by moment that you are there to guide us and sustain us and affirm us, to give us direction. We thank you for your blessed Holy Spirit. And we just want you to have the freedom in our lives to speak, Lord. that we would be quick to do what you tell us to do. I pray that this would be a week even, Lord, where in ways maybe that we don't expect, we would sense the Holy Spirit is speaking to me. And Lord, again, we just thank you for your voice, how it clears up everything for us. We give you thanks for loving us, for caring about us in a personal way. Go with us this week. And I just bless each one in this place, Lord, with the gift of your presence, your peace, your power, everything they need for what you call them to do this week. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hey, thanks for being here. Hope to see you back next week. Have a great week.